Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
As we've been thinking about missions, been talking about it, I have just been excited about the different things. Been excited about our group that went to Israel and all that they got to experience, and then having Bobby and Lori here and talk about what, you know, how we are required to be on mission, challenging us to focus on our mission, what we are to do every day. And then last week the Lord just spoke to me about just delivering a momentum message to you, letting us know that we have momentum and that we should foster it and that we should continue to grow in that. And one of the, he had given me a passage out of a book of the Bible that most preachers never preach out of. And it's because it's short. It's also because they can't pronounce the name of the book most of the time. So today I'm going to preach out of Philemon. If you looked at it in your Bible, you may call it Philemon. Philemon is in the New Testament, and it's one chapter is all that it is. So it's pretty easy to read. So I encourage you this week to read it. But we're going to go to Philemon today and read a few verses here that the Lord has given me for you today. Amen. I'm going to find it myself. Amen. Philemon, chapter 1, or the only chapter, verse 1. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I'm writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Aphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus. Now you know why no one preaches out of this book. They can't say the names. And to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. I'm going to pause there. I know we could read the whole chapter because it's really short. But I'm going to just talk about the first seven verses here. And what jumped out to me as I was reading this was in verse 6, it says that I'm praying that you will put into action. That you will put into action. That's my title for today's sermon, is put it into action. Put it into action. What is it that we need to put into action? What is it that you need to put into action? Well, last week I talked about momentum, but guess what? You can't have momentum without action, right? Now, when we look at this chapter here, when we look at this book, let's learn a little bit about it first. It was a letter that Paul wrote. He wrote the letter to Philemon, his family, when they named the names there, Archippus and Aphia, that's his wife and his son, and to his church. Now, the overall message, if you read the book, is about forgiveness and reconciliation. Because, see, the book goes on to talk about Onesimus, another name. Onesimus, who was a slave of Philemon, who ran away. And so Paul is asking him to receive Onesimus back with open arms and not treat him as a slave any longer, but treat him as a brother. And it's a wonderful book, and if you go and you read it, which I encourage you to do so this week, read that whole chapter. It's really easy to read and understand what the Lord is talking to us about forgiveness and reconciliation. But that is what the book is about. But I'm going to look at it a little different today, because I want to look at the character of Philemon. Character is a lot of times people talk about character. someone's character. You know, they use the word also integrity when they talk about someone's character. You know, it's what do you like when no one's looking, right? What do you do when no one's looking? Well, the Latin and Greek word that translates here for character, it means a stamping tool or a distinctive mark. We call that a person's distinguishing qualities, right? Some of you have distinguishing qualities. When you think about someone, they just have something. That's their mark. That's their distinctive mark. When you know you begin to talk about someone, that person is always happy, right? They're always full of joy. You talk about someone else, they're always inquisitive. You talk about someone else, and they're just always entrepreneurial and inventive. You know, some people are caring. You know, there's just so many different character qualities, distinguishing marks that people have. And guess what? You guys have them too. Amen? Look at the person next to you and say, you got a distinguishing mark. Don't tell them what it is. But we have distinguishing marks that make up our character. Now, Philemon was a convert of one of Paul's missionary journeys to Ephesus, and then he later became a member of the Church of Colossae. Okay? So that's a little bit about who he was. He was a well-to-do, wealthy person. And if you look, this is the only writing that Paul writes to an individual. He writes to churches, to the church at Thessalonians and to Colossae and Ephesus, and he writes letters to the churches, but here he is writing a letter to an individual. First of all, it should show you that, remember, nothing in the Bible, everything in the Bible is inspired by the Lord, amen? So this is obviously in there. This passage doesn't talk about Jesus, right? Most books of the Bible that we read have a point toward Jesus and tell us what Jesus wants us to know, amen? This is a letter to Philemon. That's all it is. But Paul is in a covenant relationship with Philemon, and so he begins to speak into his life. Paul, as you go in and you study Philemon this week, because I know you will, amen? You'll see that Paul, a slave of Christ, he says, puts himself in the position of Jesus later in the book and says, if Onesimus has done you wrong, put it on me. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Didn't our Heavenly Father say those same things? I bore your sins. I will pay your price. So we see Paul put this into action. Okay? It's amazing. He put it into action, and he's asking Philemon to put something else into action. Okay? So that's what we see here in this book. So when we look at verse 2, he says, I am writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker. Verse 1, at the end of verse 1, our beloved co-worker. So today, I want to speak to you as fellow co-workers. All right? Fellow co-workers. Co-workers. Anybody know what a co-worker is? Right? It's someone you work with, alongside. Right? Co-workers. If you're visiting today, you may say, well, you're not talking to me because I don't know you yet. That's fine. You know, we hope to get to know you. Maybe you'll become one of our fellow co-workers. Amen? So you can just kind of know, hey, here's what it's going to be to work alongside these folks. We do a good work. Amen? We help missions all over the world, and I believe that we're on mission to do what God has called us to do. So we do a good work. Hallelujah. But now what we see here is we see the Great Commission at work. Go and make disciples. Now Paul's writing this letter to Philemon. It's very personal. He's writing it direct to him. Why can he speak so direct into Philemon's life? Because he's a disciple, right? He's a disciple. He's a follower of Christ. He's a co-worker in the mission of God. So we see the Great Commission at work. Paul was to go and make disciples. We know that he went. One of the greatest missionaries of all time, going throughout all of the New Testament, going to these churches, planting churches. He went and made disciples. So he poured something very special into Philemon. He made him a disciple. It's important that we are all, as Bobby said, as if you'll remember when Bobby was here, he said that we are making disciples and that we are disciples. Do you know how important that is? It's important that you are making disciples. That means you should be going thinking, who am I speaking into? Who am I encouraging in their life? What good am I depositing in someone else today? And then who's depositing in my life? Who do I have? You know, you have to, if I decide I want to go and make a disciple, and I come down and I decide I'm going to go make a disciple today. And I come down here and I say, Jamie, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to, you know, go out there and clean the toilet. And then I need you, you know, to go out there and sweep the parking lot. And then when you're done with that, you know, I want you to go to Walmart. And Pat, while you're picking me up these things, don't forget to tell the cashier, God bless you. Jamie could go, I ain't doing nothing you say. I got to go mow my grass. You're crazy. See, the thing about making a disciple is you can't make a disciple unless he's willing to be a disciple. So you have to have someone. You just don't go around and tell people what to do. You have to come alongside Jamie as a fellow co-worker and say, hey, what can we do? Let's do this. Let me help you. And then as you're helping someone, you deposit into their life. You deposit into life. Who are you close to? Who can you make a disciple by depositing something into their life? You know, I believe that I have a lot of employees at the park, and I believe I deposit into their life. Some of them give me permission, some of them don't. And you know, when they don't, you know, it's okay. I go on. But those that will let me deposit into their life, I want to deposit something. And then they come and they ask questions. You need to be finding someone that you can deposit into. But then guess what? We're always learning. So we have to come to someone else and say, hey, what's God talking to you about? And now they know they have permission to speak into my life, right? I have to give someone permission to speak into my life. And then I become also a disciple. Hey, what's God told you about healing? I know you've written books on it. I know you've studied scriptures on it. What has God told you about healing? And then Brother Lou can begin to tell me and disciple me. Sure, I can read the word myself, but I can also be a disciple and learn. So we see that Paul can speak directly into Philemon because he was a disciple. If you go to this church but you haven't made yourself a disciple, what happens is when we say things, sometimes you go, well, I ain't doing that. Well, you're not a disciple. Hello. It's just true. If everything that comes from the pulpit you don't agree with or you won't do, then you won't be a disciple. Disciples allow someone to speak into their life, and then they do it. They're accountable. So we see that relationship here. This is important. That's why I'm pointing the character out. We see that relationship here between Paul and Philemon. Philemon had such a character about him that even when Paul left, he made him a disciple, he poured into his life, and he left, and Paul, he's now in prison. He's over here in prison, but he knew that Philemon was still doing the work that God called him to do. Boy, that's integrity. When we can turn our back and people still do what they're supposed to do. When you don't have to worry about, oh man, that church member, I heard they went and spoke to someone. They went and spoke to that new visitor today. Oh no. No, we should be able to turn our back and know you're a disciple. A disciple, not only of us, but of Jesus Christ. So we see that in this letter, okay? So this intro speaks very much to Philemon's character. Paul's thanking him for his faith, his love toward Jesus, and all of God's people. He was faithful. Paul knew he'd been faithful even when no one was looking. He didn't have to be told everything to do. Whew. Anybody ever met those people? I got to be told everything to do. That wasn't Philemon. Paul just thanked him because he knew he was doing what he should do. You know, we just see in the workforce today, some people just do exactly what they're told to do and nothing else. We can't do that in the church. We're all fellow co-workers. When we see something that needs to be done, we do it. When we see another member struggling, we help them. We pray for them. We ask them what's going on. We don't go, well, I wonder if the pastor's called them. Maybe I have. Maybe I didn't know. You know? But how are we fellow co-workers to do what God has called us to do? Because he's called us to work. Psalms chapter 90, verse 17, the Amplified Version reads, "And let the gracious favor of the Lord our God be on us, confirm for us the work of our hands." Yes, confirm the work of our hands. We are all called to work. And the Lord will confirm to you the work that you should be doing. A lot of times you hear that over and over and you're like, I ain't doing that. But we have to confirm the work. How many of you ever heard it said, everyone has to pull his own weight? You ever heard that phrase? I don't know where that phrase came from. I thought about looking it up, but I forgot. But, you know, we hear that phrase, everyone's got to pull his own weight. And the only thing I could remember from that phrase is a time that, you know, I went whitewater rafting. Anybody ever been whitewater rafting in this place? All right. I like whitewater rafting. It's pretty fun. My mom doesn't like whitewater rafting. But in whitewater rafting, here's how it works. You got a guide that sits in the back of the boat, and he's got a paddle. And he's going to guide and direct the way the boat goes, right? Now you got 6 to 8 people in front of you. And what is interesting about whitewater rafting is the guide will sit back here and he'll haul out a command. And he'll say, forward 3. Okay? That means 1, 2, 3. Let's see if y'all can do that. Forward 3. All right, let me tell you what just happened. Here's what just happened here. We went 1, 2, 3. Because y'all didn't do nothing. Y'all were like. And that's exactly what happens in a church. Hey, we're going to do this new thing. Okay, forward 3. 1, 2, 3. We go in circles because some people say, yeah, I ain't doing that. So, in whitewater rafting, when you were on the boat, everyone had to work together. Forward 3. I'm worried. Chris, the whitewater rafting I do, I mean, we go over like class 5 rapids and go over a 13-foot waterfall. With this pedaling, we're dying. You know? Because you have to listen to every command out of the voice of the person sitting in the back. And people look back, well, you ain't doing anything. I don't see you paddling back there. I'm guiding. If I stop guiding, you can paddle right into disaster. Right? But we are fellow co-workers. We all have different parts. We all have different jobs. But when it's right back, left forward, you better do left, right back, left forward. So that boat turns and misses that obstacle that it's supposed to hit, right? Learning to be able to see the things ahead. That's what we're supposed to do. Working together, these are the things that we're supposed to do. So when you take a boat down a river, especially the Gauley River in West Virginia, during Gauley season, you listen to everything that guide says. Now the reason why my mom doesn't like it is because everything that guide said, she was just the repeater. She was Pete over here. You know, she just began to repeat every command because she wanted to make sure everyone heard the command. I may need a repeater on some of y'all. I may need to say it, and I'm pretty sure, Patricia, I may need you to turn around and yell it back here at Mark, you know. I may need Brandon to turn around and yell it back there so that Matt and Scott hear the commands, because we are fellow co-workers working together. What is missions? Missions is doing what God called us to do, working together. We can't do it alone. We can't do it without you. We can't have all these people say, oh, missionaries come in, and we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for them, but we're not going to support them. We're going to pray for them. We're like that raft just going in a circle. We got to be balanced. We got to work together. Verse 6, he says, for you to put into action. Put into action your love, your faith. See, y'all didn't help me finish. I was waiting to say, and your generosity. Oh, y'all, tough crowd today. In the New Testament, or in the NIV version of Philemon 1:6, it says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. To deepen your understanding. Your partnership in faith deepens your understanding. Why do we do a missions conference every March? To deepen your understanding of missions. To deepen your understanding of missions. Why do we go on mission trips? To work and to deepen your understanding of what we're called to do. Why do we have a Wednesday night discipleship classes? To deepen your understanding of what we're called to do. Right? Why do we bring in evangelists and prophets and revivalists? I'm going to get help out of you one way or another today. Right? God wants us to deepen our understanding. To deepen our understanding. We have to be effective. But you can't be effective without that word partnership. Now, you know, you may not know. I say that, but you may not. Here at our church, we've never really focused on membership, okay? There's different reasons we don't focus on the word membership. But mainly because a lot of times people say they're members, but they don't do nothing in the church. Some churches show you their membership roll. And boy, they got 300, 400, 500 people on their membership roll. And their church has 50 people in it on Sunday. Or their church won't even sit but 150. And they got 300 on the membership roll. And they're not doing 3 services. So, we don't do membership in a way that it's like, oh, I belong to this church. We hope that you consider yourselves members here, but really, more importantly, I hope that you consider yourself partners. Co-workers. Because I don't need a member that's an anchor. That don't work well in whitewater rafting. That boat's got to go. You can't be holding us back. Some churches got a lot of anchors. We're called to go. You know, I love whitewater rafting, I'll tell you. And sometimes the boat just flips. Sometimes on purpose. Sometimes on purpose just to get that person that ain't paddling out of the boat. Sometimes you can look at a guide if he's really good, and you see that one person back there, and they're just paddling like this, and they're not doing nothing. You look at the guide, and he's like, oh, yeah. He can hit one wave, and that person that's not paddling shoots out of there like a slingshot. It's great. I look back, and when they get back in the boat, I'm like, bitch, you paddle now, don't you? You know? Because the only thing that keeps you in a boat when you're whitewater rafting is putting the paddle in the water and working. Working, putting it into action. being a partner. So I looked at that word partnership, and in the Greek, it's koinonia. Koinonia. And it means sharing or mutual participation. Sharing or mutual participation. Paul is talking to Philemon, and he says, I thank God that you are my partner. I thank God that you are sharing in all that we're doing for Christ's sake. I thank God that you are a mutual participant in all that we're doing. That means that you're sharing the burden and the blessing. That could be a whole nother sermon right there. Sharing the burden and sharing the blessing. Some people want to share the blessing, but they don't want the burden. So koinonia is not just an idea for Paul, but it's putting this into action. Are you putting your partnership into action? I mean, if you've ever owned a business and you had a partner, you wanted that partner to do some work. Before long, if you had a business and you had a partner and he wasn't doing any work, you don't want to be in business with that partner anymore. Right? So we are to put into action our partnership. So this time of year, we always focus on our monthly support for our missionaries. Okay, that's putting into action what God has called us to do, to bless those that are on the mission field. Many give religiously every month, you know, to your monthly support. Many of you fill out that pledge card that I'll be passing out at the end of today's service that you can take home and pray about and bring it back next week. Many do that. Some do it and give that one time, two times, and then forget. But you know what? We don't forget our missionaries, because I've entered into koinonia with our missionaries. They're my partners. I'm sharing and I am mutually participating in what they do. I want to know what they're doing. And if they don't share mutually what they're doing, they're probably not our missionaries. Because we want missionaries that are fellow co-workers. Right? We all have the same mission. Go make disciples. We all have the mission of carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost. So our missionaries, they do that. And so we are in koinonia with our missionaries. We are co-workers with them. When you go on a mission trip, and you go to the Galapagos and you help build Sunday school rooms and churches, you're in partnership. Pat comes to me often. How many times have you been to the Galapagos now? Two? Just two? I was three. He comes all the time. What's going on over there? Have you seen any pictures? What's the update? You know why? Because he entered into a partnership with them. And now he wants to know what's happening. Once you take an invested interest in koinonia and partnership, it's now mutual. It's mutual. And we want to know. So as disciples, we got to put this into action. We got to say, we will support our missionaries. When you go back there at the wall behind the food table today, I hope you haven't just looked at the food and looked at, you got to look at the wall too. On the wall, we have all the missionaries that we support. You know, how many of you listen to WJIE? We support 88.5 as a missionary. Why? Because they're sharing the message of Jesus. We consider them a missionary that we support. Hope Family Care, we consider them missionaries for what they do. We support them. You know, we share in participation with them. We pray when they ask us to pray for special needs. You know, my parents were started as some of the very first supporters of Bill McDonald and supported him the entire time he was on the field until he retired. And now we support his children because we entered into koinonia, partnership. We support missionaries in Israel. We support Larry Mead in India. We support Gary Miracle goes to Africa. We support missions around the world, because we want to share in the mutual responsibility they have of carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost. The other thing that you'll have the opportunity today to begin to make a pledge to is our building. You can go ahead and bring up pictures of our building. I know that many of you have probably seen it. But see, we have a vision to reach the youth of Nelson County. How many know it's a good vision to have? How many know that our young people need? I was watched this morning on Twitter. I don't know if y'all follow one of your representatives, Thomas Massey. But your state representative, Thomas Massey, just went before the council with a bill to come against federally funded education and let it be back on the states. It should be on the state because federal is pushing out the federal thing saying this is what we have to do across for all of our school systems. There's where all this woke culture is getting into our school systems. And he came against them and said, I'm presenting a bill that says stop this. He said that there are 4,000 people on this board, each getting paid $100,000 a year. And the school systems are crying out, we need money. And he says, well, here's money. Let's send this money to them, to the school systems, and get rid of it federally. Do you know that federal funding for school systems didn't even start until 1979? Jimmy Carter used it to get reelected. Didn't work for him. But then they adopted it. But the reason why is because there's an agenda to take our youth away. There's an agenda to take our young people away, to corrupt their mind. To corrupt their mind. Unfortunately, that vote did not pass. Every single Democrat voted no, which is expected on their party, but 60 Republicans also voted no. If they didn't vote no, if they voted yes, they would have passed and it would have been on the state for funding. It's just a different topic. But it's important to invest in our children. So if we know we can't count on the government to do it, hello, I don't know that we can count on the states to do it, that means the church has got to do it. I said the church has got to do it. We have to get into koinonia, a partnership to make this happen, you know? So, last week I began to talk about how we need to raise money to do this. And I told you last week, if you weren't here, you missed it, that we have $300,000 ready to go. Amen? $300,000 ready to go. That's great. That's fantastic, right? But we need $500,000, right? Are we willing to put it into action? Are we willing to put our faith into action with generosity to make that happen? See, on your pledge card today that you'll get, pledge card today is going to have our, you'll be able to come up here and say, my world missions, I'm going to pledge my monthly support. And then on the gym project, on the recreation building, you can pledge a weekly, monthly, or one-time gift support, because I believe in a pledge. It's a koinonia pledge. It's a partnership pledge. The reason why is when you decide you're going to do something and you write it down, you do it. Most of you. When I make my pledge, I fill this out, and when I make my pledge, I look at my statement at the end of the year to see if I did what I said I was going to do. I hold myself accountable. You know, and at times when I begin to look at it, I increase what I'm doing sometimes, you know. I find what, can I increase it this year? How do I increase it this year? Because I believe that if God gave us this vision to do this, he'll equip us and fund to doing it. Amen? And just like it is when you give to, when you go on a mission trip and you put your funds aside, when you say, I'm going to do it, the hardest thing for people to do when they say they're going to go on a mission trip is walk up and put their name on the official list. I'm going. They come by all the time and say, yeah, I want to do that with you next time you go. But they never do it. When they put their money to it, then they say, okay, I'm going to do it. I believe that we're going to see gifts Just like we saw a $100,000 gift come in, but I believe there are gifts of $50,000 and $25,000 that can come in for this project. Do you have faith to believe with me that? I believe that. But if five people did $10,000, that'd be 50. If 20 people did 100 a week for 52 weeks, that'd be 104. If 50 people did 20 a week for 52 weeks, that'd be 52. And if those 75 people did just that, we'd have $206,000 and we'd be over our goal. Now, you can come about this, we can come about this 500 different ways. You know, some people say, well, I can't do weekly. Some people get paid weekly and they have to do weekly. Some people do monthly. But if you make a pledge and you say, I'm going to do this, you'll do it. $20 a week, that's eating out. It's giving up two of your Starbucks. Ooh. Amen, thank you. It's not much. In 12 months, when we said we were going to pay off this building, we did it in 6 months. $150,000 in 6 months. Wouldn't it be great to raise $200,000 and build that building and get in that building debt-free? Can God do it? Are you willing to enter into koinonia to get it done? I was a little weaker, but amen. You know, some people look at that and say, oh, Pastor, you didn't say my number. I can't do it. No, you pray about it. You take it home. You pray about it. You may be able to give $10 a week, but you may be able to give $200. I don't know. I don't know what God will tell you to do. But I believe if we obey God and do what He's called us to do, and we exercise our faith, like Paul said to Philemon, will you put into action this partnership that we have? We already got the partnership, but now will you put it into action? As some people say, we put your money where your mouth is, right? But you know what? When we do this, we don't do this to give to the church. Do you know that? We do this because we are putting money into our inheritance. Colossians 3, 23 through 24 says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So we are working, working. That's what I always have to tell people. I have to remind them of that part. You got to work. You got to be willing to work. Some people, I tell you, please don't fill this out and write on it. I will give $5,000 if the Lord gives it to me. Do not write on here. I will pay for the whole thing if I win the lottery. Okay? Don't do that. You put on here what you have the faith to believe God will give you each week, each month. Your faith in, oh, I'm going to win the lottery. I ain't asking for that. Because I'm entering into a koinonia partnership to do this. Because I believe that we can. James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So don't be mad at me today. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has power to save your soul. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. God will bless you for doing it. What will he bless you for doing? Obeying his word. He will bless you when you enter into a partnership, into koinonia. You know, we have a job to do. We have a job to do. We have a job to reach the lost, and we have to do something about it. We have to support our missionaries. We have to build this gym so it can reach the youth of Nelson County. We have to do these things because God has laid it upon our heart. We work for the master. I serve here, but I work for the master. I don't work for you. You may think I do, but I don't work for you. I work for the master. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is out of Luke chapter 2. It's the story of when Jesus was a boy, and he went to the temple, and his parents searched for him. Remember that? Remember? You know, they couldn't find him. Where's the boy Jesus? Where's he at? And they couldn't find him, and they began to search for him. But my favorite is his response. And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" We are about our Father's business. FWC, everything we've ever done since the beginning, we're teaching a foundations class, and it goes all the way back to the foundations. When my father, our apostle, started this church, he said, if we can't support missions, shut the door. Because it's that important to us. It's a core value. But our mission field is not just overseas. Our mission field is not just Ecuador. It's not just India. It's not just Israel. Our mission field is right here in Nelson County because we're planted. That's where we're planted. And it's time for us. It's time for us to reap the harvest of our field. This is our field. We have work to do. We have work to do. Enter into koinonia with us today. Jamie, I'm going to have you and Brandon, if y'all would begin to pass these. I want you to take them home. I don't want you to do anything with them today. Just give every family one. On it, you'll see an opportunity to fill out a monthly pledge for our missionaries, an opportunity to fill out a one-time gift, monthly or weekly pledge for our building project. By putting your name on it, turning it back in, you're entering into koinonia, a partnership. But you're not entering into a partnership with me. Amen. Right? It ain't according to the terms of Jeremy. That don't mean if you fill this out and you turn it in next week, I'm not going to come knocking on your door and going, hey, you're $50 short. I'm not. You're entering into a partnership with the Lord. Because we are called to mutually share in the responsibility to do what God has called us to do. You know, just as I talked about a whitewater rafting, I may have the paddle back here guiding direction. But I can take that paddle all day long. And I can spin it and turn it, and we can go nowhere unless we have momentum. Unless we have workers saying, forward three. You know, at some point in time when you're whitewater rafting, you're pedaling, and then that guide back there, he says, dig in. That means you better pedal. I'm talking, it's pedal or swim. So grim. Church, guess what? As we see the day approaching, the end is near. Dig in. It's time the church digs in. It's time we dig in. We're building an inheritance for us in the kingdom of God. Dig in. Can you dig in? What does that mean? It means if you're only comfortable doing 10 a month before, do 20. Dig in. It means if you only witness to one person a year, make it one a month. Dig in. Well, I just quit inviting my family to church. Why? Dig in. Dig in. I don't care if they don't come. Well, they never come. I don't care. Dig in. Tell them every day. Send them a text every day. Is someone not here today? Look at them. I miss you today. Dig in. Dig in. I promise you I'm digging in. I promise you. You don't have to worry. I'm back here trying to guide and paddle. I'm guiding and paddling. Because we got to have the momentum to get us going. We got to dig in. God has called us to reach the lost. Are they all reached yet? Have they all come to know him yet? Has your family members come to know him yet? Still got some that don't, right? Still got fellow co-workers that don't know Jesus? Dig in. Live a life that's pleasing to God. It'll win respect of others, and it'll please the Lord. Amen? I want to tell you, you are a giving church, and we love you. We couldn't do what we do without your generosity. My parents couldn't have done what they did for 25 years without your faithfulness. And that's why Paul wrote that to Philemon. He said, I thank God for your faithfulness, your love for Jesus and God's people. And I want you to know that's mine to you today. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love to Jesus and also God's people. You know what? They don't have to just be sitting in here to be God's people. We got to love everyone and show them the love of Christ. Amen? Please take that and pray over it this week. Bring it back next week. Hand it to me. Put it in one of those things on the wall. Hand it to someone. Because I believe that we can reach our goal. I believe that when we break ground, that we'll know when it's done, it's paid for. I do too. Amen? That's where my faith is. And I'm willing to exercise, I'm willing to put into action my generosity to get it done. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to pray for you today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that is here today. I thank you, Father God, for those that have decided in their heart that they are in koinonia, in a partnership, a covenant relationship with FWC, and that they are disciples of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for our partnership. I thank you, Father God, that we share in the burden and the blessing of all that you have. God, I ask that you stretch our faith, that you stretch our faith, that you stretch each and every person's faith here today, Father God. And I ask, Father God, that as they make a commitment to our missionaries, a commitment to this project, a commitment, God, to you, that you will bless them above anything that they've ever seen or thought. Because, Father God, we're entering into an inheritance that we don't even deserve. But I thank you, Jesus, that we're doing it with the hearts to reach the lost. Lord, bless our efforts. Bless our efforts. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast. And visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.